Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. I got confused there. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined as always by the official second banana of the show. He's also the host of a show about gin, the Ginny Gin Gin Show. It's Evan Munro Smith.
Hello. Famously a big drinker.
Yeah.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. So much for asking. Thank you. Evan,
yes.
We are also joined this week back in the Monkey House. It's podcasters from the Sans Pants Network. They're also best boys and co-hosts of Getting Fruity with Matt and the Boys. It's two of the three boys. Evan's the other boy. Jackson Bailey and Adam Carnevale.
What up?
I'm giving myself cheers now when I'm introduced to podcasts.
Sincerely hope there are people out there who don't really get the Fruity and the Boys joke, furiously trying to Google,
find out this podcast.
I don't understand.
We got to do another episode of that
point. We do. I was eating a banana this morning. We can't have one today.
What a wasted opportunity.
Right. Absolutely wasted.
I regularly donate blood. And recently at the Red Cross, at the Australian Red Cross Center that I go to, they have started adding, they never before had fruit at this place, but now they have started adding fruit. And let me tell you, nothing better. None better than low on blood, high on fructose. That's how I want to live my life.
Better than a jelly bean? Better than a gummy bear? Better than a...
Better than a gummy snake? Bear? Better than reading the reviews for the Haribo gummy bear Amazon page?
That good.
That good.
Wow.
That's high praise for bananas.
Yeah.
It's funny that Evan's arguing against bananas.
Yeah.
Seeing that he is one.
That's true. I was just confirming. I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't arguing, just clarifying.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair.
It's important to be clear about these things.
We haven't done this in a while, I don't think, or maybe we did it last episode. But Evan, your favorite primate is Andy from Toy Story. Jackson and Adam, do you have any suggestions for a superior primate, a non-human primate that maybe would change Evan's mind? You've had great suggestions in the past. I think at one point you suggested a monkey that was riding a pig.
Yeah.
I think that we forget that we have a rich history of slowly narrowing down what it is Evan likes about Woody and trying to find that in the primate world.
Might I suggest Sid from Toy Story?
Oh.
He's like Andy, but he's more creative and has an edge.
And is human.
He's the cool Andy.
Oh, wait, no, Andy's the boy. I forgot.
Woody from Toy Story is the furthest thing from a primate you could get. He's a facsimile of a primate, if he's anything.
But he has life in his own way.
He does have life in his own
No, I think Andy's better than Sid. He's a better person, you know?
I think that's unfair to Sid. Okay, no, on the inside, yeah. Sid is rotten to the core.
And maybe on the outside. Right. Sid, you know, Sid wears braces, which means...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's at least his teeth are inferior.
Well, at first.
Yeah, you could take it that way, Evan, if you're thinking negatively. But if you're thinking positive, maybe he's trying to better himself. And
maybe
and his teeth.
Oh, okay.
Today, in the year 2021, Sid's teeth are incredible. Because he's had braces, whereas Andy... has not taken care of his teeth, so they're
resting on his laurels.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I don't know. You're making some assumptions there. I don't know. I don't think Sid will sway me from Andy. To be honest, okay.
That's fair. I tried my best.
Swaying though, that's something that monkeys like to do.
True.
Swaying okay. through the branches. Is that what they do? No, they swing.
That's it. Yeah, they swing.
Swaying through the branches.
I get my SW words confused.
May I? So yeah. I don't know if you know this, but there is a semi-famous little fact about the first Toy Story movie where at Andy's birthday party, all of Andy's best friends are just copies of Andy wearing different outfits. They're all just Andy again. So I was wondering if maybe we can take some of the like background, the like subconscious things about Andy that we don't think about, but that we know on an instinctual level and try to apply that. So there is currently speaking 5 cloned, how do you say this one? Macaws? McQueen? No, that's not it. Macaques.
Macaques.
There are
macaques.
5
macaques.
5 cloned macaques in a Chinese laboratory. How do you feel about them?
Yeah.
What?
I love a trap. I love a trap, Adam. This feels good. I think we got him here.
I think we've got him here. Come on, Evan.
The are team you, started. Are you suggesting that it's the cloning of Andy that
that makes the process
Andy's
costs about half
so
a million dollars? Does that feel any, what's the budget of Toy Story?
Millions, surely.
Well,
first one,
it's crazy.
I crazy the first one that... was only $30 million. So
for, and how much is it to clone one macaque?
Well, the process to clone the 5 that they got was $500,000, so half a million.
So $100,000 to clone a macaque, which means instead of making Toy Story, imagine the amount of macaques we could have made.
Imagine.
That's a good point.
If I'd gone to, what's his name? David Bird? Who made Toy Story? I think it's David Bird.
David Byrne? Was that a David Byrne?
David Byrne? Anyway,
from the Talking Heads.
Yeah, someone. David someone. Anyway.
I don't understand the question.
That's fair.
Adam.
So you don't understand? Well, the question is, how do you feel about these macaques?
Yeah.
Well, you
the
pro
cloned
or
macaques.
Anti, knowing nothing macaques, other than they are clones.
I mean, that is all I know about them. And
yes.
Look,
so we're in agreement.
Yeah, okay. So I
well, this is a good stable standing point to rest everything from here.
To rest the debate on.
Yeah. I feel like I have to assume that something, even if it's not much at all, I feel like something has to be lost in the cloning process, right? I feel
are
like
you suggesting these macaques have no soul?
Not necessarily. But
are you basing this off the episode of Round the Twist where Linda is cloned?
I don't remember that at all.
And the clone eventually fades away to nothing.
How do they clone someone in Round the Twist?
She was known as Adnal. Because that was Linda Backwards.
Linda Backwards, that makes sense.
I have to assume that the cloned macaques are in some small way at least inferior to the original macaque that they were cloned from.
The Adnal theory.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the clones of Andy that we see in Toy Story are perfect clones.
Well,
still containing, still intact with their soul.
They're a digital copy. It's not a biological clone, you know? Like, they would be, for all intents and purposes, they would be identical to the original Andy.
Right? Right. Clearly with
different except their clothes. Obviously, their clothes.
If this... Look, hey, feel free to stop me, but I've got a counterpoint now. Or not a counterpoint, but I've got a second series of monkeys that I would now like to show you, having learnt this.
Okay, just before you go on to that, Adam, I'd like to suggest... I hadn't thought of this before.
Yeah.
How do we know that Andy isn't the clone?
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I mean, it's so close to Adnil.
Yeah,
as a name.
It's true. Maybe out there somewhere there's a Yinda, the person that everybody's been cloned off, making all these Andes. Yeah, that's a good point. It's an excellent point. I ain't saying it's impossible. Certainly.
So you're saying maybe the original Andy is just one of his friends at the party, a background extra.
I think he's in a lab somewhere, Evan. I don't think they let him out into the town. Ah! Adam, I hate what you've shared.
Oh my god. What is this?
In the video game.
What is this image?
In the video game Halo 3, it is possible to climb up some rocks and trees in one of the levels and discover this, a family of monkeys. These monkeys are all the exact same, identical. It is one of the developers' faces as the monkey face. And then they just copied the monkey several times to make a family, but changed their sizes.
Yeah, all they've done is scale them.
Sorry?
All they've done is scale the guy, the main monkey, smaller to make little children monkeys.
Once again, we have a firm foundation of agreement. Yes, all they have done is change the scale.
Finally, we agree on something.
How do you feel? How are we feeling?
This is disturbing.
It is. It's upsetting. It is. It's bad to look at.
Do you know if they do anything in the game?
No, they don't move. They bleed when you shoot them, but they can't be killed.
That's terrible.
And one of them's got a bear as well, like a teddy bear.
Yeah, they're a bit too human, you know, in many ways.
I'm going to, some listeners have said that they want to be able to see these pictures. So I'll try and keep a list and I'll
that's a good idea.
Tweet them out. And I should say maybe now's a good time to let people know that the next episode we're going to do is a live stream.
That's exciting.
Tickets are now on sale. You can go to the link in the show notes. There is a discount code, which I forget what it was, but I think it's ATS, all caps, okay. Ape Titty Slide. So they're relatively cheap tickets already, but
easy to remember.
Gets them even cheaper.
Finally transitioning into the visual medium.
Mm. Yeah.
Can guarantee almost certainly that there will be difficulties showing an image and we will have to hold a phone up to our camera. That is almost guaranteed going to happen.
Get ready for
that. Yeah. You can see what's behind me. Haven't you always wanted to know what's behind me when I'm recording an episode?
I feel privileged seeing it every week.
Two of us have semi-streamer setups, and you'll never guess who.
The date, of course, will be the 11th coming up, the 11th of September at 9 p.m. Australian or Eastern Standard Time in Australia.
Melbourne time. Yeah, not Melbourne, Florida.
That's right.
Melbourne,
yeah.
Australia.
Common mistake.
There's probably some people listening at the moment who are starting to doubt that the ATS investigation has enough legs for a fourth episode, seeing as we haven't even mentioned it yet on episode 3.
But don't you worry.
This isn't filler. Don't you worry. There's so much more. This is just fun.
This is bonus fun. I just did that on a whim.
Every single one of these episodes begins with us being like, oh man, are we going to be able to? And then ends with us being like, there's so much.
It just keeps getting blown wide open.
It does. It somehow, even though it's as open as it could feasibly be, there's more open to get. And there's been updates since the last episode, case-breaking updates. Mm.
You know what they say? When the ape titty slide opens a door, they also open a window.
That is what they say.
Yeah, I haven't even gone through and collated all the intel our listeners have dished out to us on Twitter or whatever. It's also, I'll read something, I'll be like, oh, this is great. I'll definitely use this. And then later I'm like, where was that? Yeah. How do I find that again?
How do I find...
The beauty about the live one as well is that our viewers and listeners will be able to, in real time, be able to follow along, do their own research and contribute to the investigation.
Absolutely.
I'm excited for that element of it.
Yeah, the real-time blowing of the case.
It's getting spectacular.
Open.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I kick it off with an email I received from a listener, Vinny Policastro from New Jersey, which was exciting to me because I've been watching The Sopranos. And, so to get communication directly from the home of Tony and the Paulie and the rest of the gang was very exciting to me. But do you guys remember in the last episode? I can't remember who discovered this, but we found a non-European.
Yeah. An international titty ape slide, ape titty slide, yeah.
Yes, exciting. And it was named Mighty Joe. Mm. Well, Vinny, he trekked out to it. I think he...
Oh, my
40
God.
Minutes away. I might just read the email written. It's longish, but, you know...
That's
like
okay. The more information, the better.
Agree.
Okay, great. And he also attached a bunch of photos, which I will... link to in the show notes as well. All right, so Vinny writes, so I think I'll start from the beginning, as all stories do.
Wow, all right, time to strap in.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tale, an odyssey.
We traveled from my house west 40 minutes into Jersey. Oh, he's not from Jersey. He's from just outside of Jersey.
Your Sopranos dream.
he's gone west. I thought Jersey was on
What's
the shore.
West of Jersey?
Yeah, is he a seaman?
Yeah, what about the Jersey Shore? Yeah, hang on. He's a merman. Oh my God.
Well, that's big. That's
huge.
Big early.
Yeah.
He says, now, if you've never been to New Jersey on the East Coast, there are beaches and shopping and residential areas. But when you go out west, it's all just farms, produce and livestock. We are the Garden State, after all. All right, hang on. Now I think he's claiming Jersey again.
The Sopranos are back.
Holy shit!
Woke up this morning.
Is Jersey is Jersey like a city in New Jersey?
Yeah, must be. Yeah. Jersey must be inside New Jersey. Sorry,
surely they can't do that.
Yelling at their iPod.
Surely they can't have done that twice. It's New York, New York, and New Jersey, New Jersey. No way.
Jersey City.
Jersey City. You're right. They did do it twice.
So Mighty Joe is located in Chemung, which is just past Tabernacle. This place is well and truly out there. We pass several cornfields, blueberry farms, and horse farms. And 3 minutes down the road from Mighty Joe is a winery. We stopped there afterward and got a bottle of apple wine. It was lovely.
Oh, all right.
Apple wine. I don't know if I've heard of that.
Yeah, that sounds good, though.
That's different from cider, I'm guessing.
I guess, yeah. I don't know what
just
makes
flat
it different.
Cider.
Yeah. You have to crush it with your feet like wine. That sounds hard.
I think that's it. There was an old, I think an old family friend had a memory thing or something like, if it's clear and yellow, you got juice there, fella. If it's tangy and brown... you're in cider town.
Oh, yeah.
My old family friend was, of course, Ned Flanders.
Yes.
I was about to say, isn't that a Simpsons quote?
Yeah.
But he never got to apple wine on that one, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh,
that's
hang on.
What was about. Mm-hmm. What?
Did we just get fruity with Matt and the boys?
Oh, we did. Oh, my God.
It comes so naturally.
Yeah.
You don't even notice the transition.
So now Joe himself, first things first, he is massive. I was really blown away at just how big this guy is. Really makes it even crazier that he came here from Spain. Holy shit. Did we know that?
We knew that. I think they mentioned somewhere in the weird New Jersey article we were reading that the weird New Jersey article said that the owners of Mighty Joe currently heard from someone who was there in the 60s that it came internationally, but I don't think we knew it was from Spain specifically.
Right.
Case, look at that. This is sticking to our only bombshells rule, and that's good to hear.
He says, if you look at the photos, which I will have a link to in the show notes. If you look at the photos, you can see some segmentation around the arms and face. On the back, you can see the door hole where you used to be able to access the slides. And looking at it, I noticed something interesting. There is only one door, but two slides. That means there has to be enough room for you to walk around inside his chest.
Oh, I hadn't considered
that. Right. That's right. There must be like a platform in there.
What if there is some other attraction inside the slide?
There might be a kiosk or something in there.
There's so much room.
Yeah, there would have to be. There would have to be huge amounts of room inside the... Can you link these photos to us in any way?
Oh, yeah. Let me...
I would love to be able to peruse.
Is the Mighty Joe... Because it's got a sign on the front of it, right? Is that covering the titty holes? Is that what that is doing?
Oh, my... Of course.
Is it? I don't know. Or is... Because it...
Well, I'm sure, yeah, well, because this is something that's always intrigued us, is to whether the titty holes come pre-packaged on the ape slide.
Yeah.
Right.
Or whether they have to be, I bet they are. Yeah, looking at this, surely that sign is covering titty holes, which makes that a huge sign. But surely that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
Just linking you to that doc there. So just scroll down below the email, you'll see the photos.
Okay.
Oh, yes, okay. Oh, it is quite big. So the fence around it is like head height for an adult.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's roomy. That's crazy. Mighty Joe's Deli and Grill, best sub shop of South Jersey 2011. Oh, my God.
Oh, I hope Vinny got a sub.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I really you really want to move the sign out of the way, though, so we can get a good look at those titties. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
You can sort of see, they've got some good angles on it. There is an angle that you can kind of see, you can almost see behind the sign in one of these pictures.
Yeah, it's sort of a bit of a side boob kind of angle.
It's interesting because the segmentation, and again, this is only according to Vinny's photo.
Yeah.
It appears to only be on one arm. Do you see that? Well, maybe it is on both. No, it is on both. It's just hard to see.
Yeah, it is hard to see.
It might be a lighting issue. No, so does that actually, mean... I think you're right. I think the segmentation's only on one arm.
On the left?
On the left. Right. I'm seeing it on the right arm.
Oh
man.
Oh, his left, our right.
Yeah.
The left arm. Yeah, the gorilla's left arm.
Yeah, from the gorilla's perspective.
I don't know.
I can't see anything on the right.
So does that mean the arms... are separable in some way, like it. If it
maybe
comes
for travel, right? Yeah. You think that to get it over here, probably shipped out from Spain.
Yeah, it's probably flat packed, right?
Look in the lower photo, you can see
in
the
last one. Yeah, I was
segment.
Just looking at that one, and actually, yeah, no, maybe they are both segmented.
Yeah.
While you're looking closely at the photos, Vinny does go on asking for us to look closely at the photo.
Oh yes.
Well,
he says. Yeah. He says you can see where the holes in his chest have been sort of filled in.
Oh, yes,
you kind of can underneath the sign.
Okay, I see that.
And in the back as well, they've completely filled it in at the back. That's crazy.
Right. He says he looks as though he had a fresh coat of paint not too long ago, but he did have some moss and such growing on his hands and feet.
He's been there a while. I would imagine.
I remember you mentioning how crazy it is that there are no pictures of people reaching up to hold his hand. It's harder than it looks. I'm 6'2", which helps you with scale there.
Wow.
So there, one of the photos has him in it.
Yeah.
And I had to reach and stand on my tiptoes just to barely touch his hand.
Wow. But if that fence wasn't there, it'd be much easier.
But the hand would just
be like patting you on the head, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be nice, though, I think.
That would be so... How nice would that
be? Lovely to be patted by Mighty Joe.
People, worth the ticket price alone to be patted by Mighty Joe. Says, I don't think it's visible in the photo, but the owner actually lives in a house just off to the side of him. Oh, wow. I wanted to ask around. The gentleman at the gas pumps told me more about the real Mighty Joe. The real Joe, who Mighty Joe is named after.
Oh.
The owner's son, who passed away from a brain tumor at a young age. Mighty Joe is a memorial to him and also a way to get people to stop and put some money in the donation bin for brain cancer research. And of course, I put in some cash. Great work, Vinny.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
He told me the girls inside the deli would have more info. So he did get into the deli.
Yeah. Good. That's good to hear.
It feels everyone close was... to breaking this. With I feel I can. It's in my bones. I can feel it. We're getting close.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? Every step, a little bit closer. Mm.
It's just incredible. I think for someone to have gone and physically seen one of these titty ape slides. There's a real sense of reality, I think, that comes from it. You know, we're physically affecting the world with this podcast. That's pretty spectacular.
This podcast has touched a titty ape slide.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Vinny says, everyone inside the deli, everyone was so kind and lovely to speak to. The deli / diner is jungle themed with some jungle and monkey wallpaper. Which is a nice touch, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
One of the ladies behind the counter spoke to me and gave me a postcard for donating. She told me that the owner still has the slides and that you had to slide down it on a potato sack. Well, that's new info.
Oh, right.
Like you'd get stuck otherwise?
Yeah, I guess so.
But I wonder if that's the case, because I think the one we saw at Harry Malta didn't come with potato sacks at all. It was just like... good luck. Get sort of that like slide burn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Down. Yeah. Because every slide seems to be slightly different as well. It's almost like the slides are maybe not
a
included.
Element. Yeah.
Hmm.
Like batteries on Christmas morning. Yeah.
You just get the ape, you got to provide your own slides.
Pop down the shops, get a couple
Christmas
slides.
Christmas morning. They put together the ape part, they're like, all right, we're missing the slides.
Oh! Open the, and then there's always like a little smaller present for you to open that's got them in there. I get it now. I see why I got batteries for Christmas,
It goes on, they might have kept the potato sacks in the chest cavity.
That makes sense.
See, this chest cavity, I mean, it's so useful.
It's like a TARDIS. It's just so much space in there.
But I think we knew it was big, but we're really getting a sense of how big it is now, especially with these photographs. And the fact that you could, because previously I kind of thought that it was like, you would get up the back of the ape, you just walk through, like it would be like a tiny room, like effectively just like a corridor. But clearly it was like there was, you know, a space to hang out inside.
Yeah, room to like stand up, it seems.
Yeah, which is really, and maybe one of us can be doing this in the background whilst Mac keeps reading this out. Is the Harry Malta slide that big? Or is it a smaller, are there many sizes to the titty ape? Or are they, I don't know, just an interesting thing to...
Will we need to get Vinny to visit them all for scale?
Yeah, Vinny, you're our yardstick these days, so
we know 6'2", and then his arms probably going up another couple of feet at least.
Yeah. I think the Harry Malta one's smaller. I reckon
it's like four times taller than Vinny. Do you reckon that's a fair... I reckon if you copy-paste Vinny four times, it'll be about the same height as...
Do you mean the Mighty Joe or...?
Mighty Joe, yeah. Just looking at Vinny standing next to it.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, at least 3.5 Vinnies, I reckon.
Yeah, like 20 feet maybe then?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe 20 feet. It's hard to tell. It's so hard to tell scale on these other photos.
I'll go back to the email while you're snooping.
If I may, so my research has been mostly, so I, while looking into this, I discovered that if you're particularly clever, one can find a website, I don't know if you've ever heard of such a website, called the Wayback Machine. it shows, it's a magical thing, a rare piece of the internet. I don't think anyone's ever heard of it. But anyway, it shows older versions of websites. And I was able to go back through the Wayback Machine. On the Wayback Machine, I was able to go back through the Harry Malta Park, their website.
Oh, yeah.
And I just created, it's not like, it's not a, I am not considering this, I'm considering this unfilled, but... nonetheless, the best timeline possible for King Kong and the Harry Malta Park.
Okay.
Is it something maybe that we would like to, at the very least, review?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting.
Look, I feel tantalized right now.
There are more than a few overlaps, just letting you know.
Okay.
So, obviously, the first portrayal of King Kong on film was the 1933 movie simply titled King Kong. Interestingly enough, in my research, I was trying to find out as well. This was a very difficult thing to research, but I was trying to find out what the scale of King Kong is in each of these movies. And it is very funny. In the first one, the effects person who created King Kong, Marion C. Cooper, envisioned them as 40 to 50 feet tall, but the animators and the set creators just like, he changes sizes a lot in the original movie.
That rules.
In an interview with Cooper, I was a great believer in constantly changing King Kong's height to fit the settings and illusions. He's different in almost every shot. Sometimes
I like that. He was a great believer in it. Yeah, not yeah. Just, yeah. That's just how it turned out.
No, philosophically, he was passionate about it.
Yeah, that's how he felt it should go.
Sometimes he is only 18 feet tall, but sometimes he gets to 60 feet or larger, which is just very funny.
See, I wonder if the titty slides are the same. If this one maybe is like 18 to 20 feet, but maybe, Harry Malta one's like 50 feet, who knows?
You think they're sort of like the Selly's No More gaps of the park equipment world.
Right.
They'll grow to fill their environment.
Yeah, right.
They're like a goldfish, yeah.
So after the original release, the movie was, you know, fairly large at the box office, or like it did, you know, it was in the zeitgeist.
How big was it at the box office? 20 feet?
Yeah, give us a size, dude.
How many Vinnies, Adam?
I'm sorry?
How many Vinnies tall were they? Was that the box office?
They don't measure it in guineas, unfortunately.
In guineas.
Box office was 5.3 million.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It did all right for the time. And
That's, I reckon, 30 or 40 Vinnies.
Yeah, for sure. Vinnies. That's a lot of Vinnies.
On a budget of about $500,000, it made 5.3. So that's pretty good.
Okay.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are no like portrayals of King Kong for a little while. And in specifically on April 9th, 1938, Karl Heinrich Malta, sometimes called Harry Malta, was born.
Mm. Yeah.
He grows up.
What?
Yeah, hey, I know.
When was he born?
He was born on April 9th, 1938.
That's my birthday is April 9th, what? Not 1938.
Oh, what?
For my
what?
Whoa,
I can't believe I share a birthday.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Holy
shit.
We're in.
That's too big of a coincidence. What's going
We're
on there?
We're past the looking glass here, people.
Oh, my God. Jesus
Evan's
Christ.
Evan's response to that. I thought it was due to the year.
No.
Yeah. But no, it was the personal relationship to the date.
Holy shit.
What are the odds? Hugh Hefner is also April 9th, if you're wondering.
Okay. That's it.
I was wondering. My mind went, where's Hugh Hefner's birthday?
Where does Hugh fit into this?
Yeah.
What have you done, Evan? What have you done?
Feels like there's a real glitch in the Matrix happening right now.
And it would not shock me, and obviously I have no evidence to back this up, but if Hugh Hefner had a titty ape slide somewhere in Playboy Mansion.
In the grotto.
Yeah, that seems plausible.
Wouldn't shock me.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Harry grows up in his father's circus, the Triller. Sorry, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation here. The Triller Circus, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. And then in the 1960s, Toho, a Japanese production company, licenses the character for multiple movies. This is the first time we see King Kong on the big screen after the 1933 release. They do multiple movies,
interesting.
But the two most notable are King Kong versus Godzilla and King Kong mm-hmm. Escapes.
Mm-hmm.
In 19...
Now, do you know the... If whether these got a worldwide release or just America or just Japan
my
or
understanding,
Europe? What?
My understanding yeah. is that they got a wide release within Japan and then it took several years for them to kind of... Okay. Like with a lot of the Godzilla movies, they kind of disseminated at a slower pace but had yeah. definitely like a lot of interest behind them, just not necessarily major mainstream sort of interest, but they yeah. did
main scream. That main feels scream. Like something, Adam. Yeah. Can we park that? Probably not relevant here, but we could use that at some
that's,
point.
That's right? something, 100%.
Put a pin in that. Yeah, let's bookmark it.
And then in 1968, so this would have been enough time. I was specifically meant this would have been enough time
yeah.
for these movies to slowly disseminate into the culture wide. Harry yeah. Molter establishes his own circus, Pisty,
mm-hmm.
okay. simply called okay. Pisty. He specifically states that he must stand on his own 2 feet now. just neither here nor there. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Like a gorilla.
Yes.
Yeah,
like a gorilla.
Yeah.
So
when they're not on all fours.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. More like a human, really, I suppose.
Like one of those dogs that's trained to stand on 2 feet.
Very
yeah. Cute. Wow. Like a bird, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
In 1975, the Italian producer Dino De Laurentiis, I know everyone who's never heard of Dino name. De Laurentiis. Of
incredible
course.
Name.
Paid for the rights to remake and then remade the second big adaptation that we see, King Kong 1976, which incidentally has a 1986 sequel, King Kong Lives, interestingly
okay.
enough.
Yeah, wow.
In 1978, so 3 years after the Italian remake, the last yeah. performance of the Piste Circus happens in Antwerp. And in 1992, between 1978 to 1992, Harry Molter's life is a blur. I do not know what happens okay. to him. And there are certainly no major adaptations of King Kong in that time. But in
Harry Molter's Lost Weekend.
Mm. Yeah.
What sounds it? He's hanging out with Bob Dylan or...
When was Harold Holt? Maybe he's chilling with them.
Yeah.
In 1992, the Harry Molter Park opens in Houston near Ghent. Houston, not Houston in Texas, just in case you were curious. And in 2005, the Peter Jackson remake, which had been planned for about 30 years apparently, simply titled King Kong, takes place. Then obviously we have 2007 and 2021, the Kong Skull Island and Godzilla versus Kong movies, mm-hmm. but I assume by then it looks like the
Kong Mania
slides have been well established by then.
Well, what's very interesting, Adam,
yeah.
is that because you started talking about these King Kong films that were made in Japan in the 60s,
mm.
and I was thinking, that's what are the odds of those films getting made in the 60s and in the 1960s in New Jersey they build Mighty Joe? Right? That's the kind of timeline, right, Matt?
Yeah.
I'm correct on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, but the Harry Molter Park is built in the 19... Did you say 1980? What was it?
The Harry Molter Park is 1992.
1992. So we are getting an interesting timeline here of how long the period of time that you were able, that one was able to purchase these titty ape slides.
Like
isn't
a thriving business, long
1960s
term.
To the 1990s, that's insane.
Unless they're getting them secondhand at Harry Molter, but...
Oh, that's an interesting question. Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't considered that. Yeah, if they're kind of staying within Europe, but then where... That is something I hadn't considered. In all my... I've done a lot of searching. It is remarkably hard to find a distributor for, like, custom slides like that, or at the very least, rare slides. I found several large distributors that make... You know, you go to any county fair or anything like that, and you see like the pirate ship ride. You see the one that's called the Twister, that sort of stuff. I found that website.
A dozen.
It is very hard to find anything that isn't one of those standard rides. And I hadn't considered looking for used ones, because all the ones I found were purchased new.
Ah, yes.
So here's something that might help a little bit. Mm. So as we recall on the last episode, I messaged Harry Malta. And I actually got a response.
What?
What?
So oh, wait, from Harry? No, Harry.
No, Harry.
From Harry died.
Yeah. He's dead.
Unfortunately passed away, yeah.
Imagine so that, messaged, getting a message from beyond the grave.
I messaged the Harry Malta Park on Facebook. I said, "Dear Harry Malta Park, I represent an Australian podcast called Primates. Recently, we did an episode on the ape statue at your park with two slides coming out of the front of it. I didn't want to say titties because I wanted a response. As well as many other similar slides we discovered all over Europe. We were wondering if you could give us..." Oh, I spelt wondering wrong. That's embarrassing. We were wondering... I spelt it one deer. We were wondering if you could give us any more information regarding the slide, where it came from, how old it is, who purchased it, etc. Much obliged. And they responded, "Hello. We purchased the gorilla slide about 25 years ago from Falgus Entertainment in Spade. 5 years ago, we put closed sides on the gorilla, and this winter, we plan to restore the gorilla to its natural colors." So we have...
Whoa.
The company that provided Harry Malta with the ape slide.
That's
Falgus,
huge.
F-A-L-G-A-S,
and also,
Entertainment.
And also a time frame. Falgus. So they 25 years ago. So where does that put it? In the late 90s?
Yeah, that would have been 96-ish.
Yeah, let's find out 25 years ago what that would be. And we can get a really interesting timeline. Surely, wow, that's crazy. That means that Falgus Entertainment has been providing ape slides from 1960 to like 1990 at the earliest.
Yeah.
But presumably later. Now,
I wonder if they bought it new from them. I suppose so.
Well, that's what it's, because I kind of thought it would make so much more sense if they were reversed.
Yeah.
If we found out that Mighty Joe was built like in the 1990s, you could be like, oh, he was purchased secondhand. And in the 1960s, Harry Malta purchases the Titty Ape slide from Falgus Entertainment. But that's not the case. It's flipped. It's been around for decades. Now, if you go to Falgus Entertainment now, I've done a little bit of searching. You cannot find any Titty Ape slides.
I'm searching.
Interestingly,
wait, they have a... Where's their website? Because I can't find it right now.
Falgus.com, baby.
How do you spell it again?
Now, F-A-L-G-A-S.
Oh, A-S.
Now, Falgus.com has an American... or in English, but I think they say specifically this is for an American buyers, and a Spanish, like you can translate the website, which I think is interesting. I think that means that maybe there are markets in both, like that Falgus Entertainment sells to both. Now, I'm going to contact Falgus Entertainment,
of course,
and I'm going to email them.
Yeah.
And hopefully at the live show, we'll be able to get some kind of response from them. And that might, tie a ribbon on the whole ape titty slide debacle.
To be able to purchase our own.
Yeah, that's the only ribbon I see that's satisfying enough is a purchase.
Right at the front of stupid old studios. You just slide right into recording.
It'd be taller than the building. It's a two-story building. You'd a tower over it, wouldn't it?
I feel like the only reasonable scenario is a phone call to Luna Park that I am sure they have never had in their entire lives.
But they've been waiting for
that. Yeah. They've been waiting. Yeah.
But yeah, so if you go into Falgus Amusement Rides, you go into English USA version recommended for the Americas, and you search ape or slide, you don't get anything close. They're still selling some stuff. They're still selling some carousels, playgrounds, circus trampolines, but nothing
something
at
called
all,
redemption.
Even-
It must be a sport and redemption is one of the
sport and redemption.
It's one of the sections.
Although, hang on, if I go to figures, if you go to figures and jungle, they are selling a sitting gorilla, which we have seen in the past when we've searched ape stat.
Oh my god, we have two.
Is it the same one that's at Harry Malta?
I believe it is. Hang on.
Because Harry Malta has a sitting one.
Yeah.
Wait, that doesn't mean they've got confused?
Is it
possible that they have given us the details to the wrong company?
Maybe.
Oh.
Imagine.
That
they
be
say we purchased the gorilla slide like 25 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, they're specific. So
they do say slide.
They could have just purchased them multiple from the same place. That's possible.
That's
true. I think Falgus has a great reputation for novelty ape statues, etc. So
yeah, that's true.
It makes sense.
They're selling a lot of stuff.
Oh my god! All right, I'm comparing their picture to the one in. All right, so. There are models.
Adam, what's the status of the case right now?
There are models of the gorilla, of this like smaller gorilla. There are models of this smaller gorilla that are no longer in stock because. So I don't know what is going on here, but if you look at the picture on the website, on the Falgris website, the gorilla statue. Has it's kind of in a sitting position, one arm behind it, one arm on its knee, kind of casually. But the pictures in the Harry Malta Park, the exact same pose, identical in every aspect, with one exception. That hand casually over their knee is instead turned around, palm up, so that people can sit in it like a chair. Yes.
Why did they make that change?
Hey, I'm just sending you another photo in the chat. Is this the one that you're looking at? Because this is at Harry Malta as well.
Yep, that's the one I'm looking at, yes.
Yeah. So they've got, how many of these have they got at Harry Malta?
There are two versions on the Falgus website, but neither of them are this model.
No, both of them have the hand down, but it is also... massively identical otherwise.
It is so similar otherwise.
That's so weird. What I'm wondering,
because the hand is clearly turned in a way such that one could use it as a chair for photo opportunities. I wonder if they do things to order.
Oh.
And that might be why we see so many different slides and so many different configurations. I want a photo where I could see better this arm in all of its different, because I want to know if this arm is like also interchangeable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
And then, oh, that's so interesting. Well, yeah, I will definitely send off. I'm still exploring the Falgus website.
Yeah.
They do like jungle themed things. They do Treasure Island themed things. They even have something called the Kid Sim Simulator. I don't know what that is. Nothing at all close, which is, I mean, like the 1990s were a while ago now, as horrible as it is to think about. Yeah. They were. That's like 25 years ago, or 22 years ago.
Guys, can I just share a photo of me at the Werribee Zoo just quickly? And see if this relates. Is that it?
Oh my god, it is! Oh my god!
What the
That's
hell?
That's the same one!
That's the same one! Matt, you've been there! Matt, you were in it the whole time! We cracked the case wide open and we found you inside it!
It's the same fucking gorilla! Holy shitteroli!
Oh my god!
We got a message them as well. Werribee Zoo.
Where did they get it?
We gotta find out when they purchased this gorilla, who they purchased this gorilla from, and you know what this means?
Yes.
This means that if there is this piece of equipment from Falgus Entertainment in Australia, then it is entirely feasible that there is a titty ape slide down under somewhere that we can visit. It's not out of the...
Amazing.
And if I message Falgus Entertainment, which I will, I will ask, one, if we can get a history of the titty ape slide, but two... did they ever send any to Australia?
Yes.
We want a full list of their clients.
I'm sure they'll just hand them out to me, surely.
Yeah.
We want the paper trail.
But I gotta ask, I would be
remiss
not to... That is crazy, Matt.
That is
full on.
Every week we do this, I think there's no more chances for this case to be blown any further
it's
open.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
It's just one explosion after another. It's
when
insane.
You sent that photo through with the hand the other way, I'm like, oh my god, I've seen this.
Wow.
This is familiar. Why? Why do I remember this ape?
Manchurian Candidate style, Matt, you were a sleeper agent among us this entire time.
Now, I'm, I've just started to Google Werribee Zoo slide just in case.
Oh no, it couldn't. It absolutely.
While you do that,
yeah,
Jackson, let me finish the email from Vinny. We're just under the last paragraph here. Just talking more specifically about the positioning of Mighty Joe. Says he was positioned in the middle of the go-kart track when he was at a family fun park in Wildwood, New Jersey, and children would play on him while carts went around the track. So this is its past before he became Mighty Joe.
Right.
I didn't get any more information on his manufacturer or what part of Spain he's from, unfortunately. But I did have an awesome time. And in the end, that's the main
that
thing.
Is the main thing. This guy, Vinny's, I don't know if it's because I'm in lockdown, but road trip. It just feels like the best thing in the world.
Chasing down a dream like that.
That feels
so
like
good.
The best day.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
It truly does.
He says, my wife and daughter also loved him. I know you guys wanted to set up a fund to have him repaired, but now that he is a memorial, if you wanted to set up a fund to donate the money to brain cancer research in Joe's name, that would be fantastic and an honor to Mighty Joe. Aww. Not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
I'll find the link to that. Maybe we don't have to do our own fund, but we could definitely put the link to, if I can find it, how to donate.
Oh, yeah, directly if there's an existing
And then listeners could just go straight in.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that's a good idea. Mm.
That'd be it, yeah. I'd love it if all of a sudden there was just money coming from around the world to Mighty Joe. And, all thanks to Vinny's road trip. Thanks to you.
Thank you,
and,
Vinny.
It was actually a bit of a twist at the end when we hear that there was a wife and daughter there as well. But then I think back sort of Kaiser Soze style. I'm like, otherwise, who took the photos?
Yeah. You know? It all makes sense now.
Thanks so much for that email, Vinny. Yeah. That was, amazing. If we do have any listeners in Spain, I'm sure we do, or in any of these locations, or in Werribee.
Yeah.
If anyone... definitely.
Anyone within 5 kilometers of the Werribee Zoo.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to go down there, knock on the front door. They'll be like, we are closed. You are in lockdown. Say, I'm here as an investigative journalist for the podcast Primates.
They'll be like, come right in.
Yeah, please. Wow. Well, yes, I'm definitely going to shoot off a message to the Werribee Zoo. I'm going to shoot off a message to Falgus Entertainment. And hopefully by the time of the live show, I will have responses from both of them regarding the slide from Falgus and Werribee Zoo when they purchased. I just did a little bit of research on the Werribee Zoo then. It was opened in 1975. So that kind of it matches up with the timeline of when they could have theoretically purchased an ape slide. Mm-hmm. From Falgus Entertainment. It's great. Falgus, can we just say, that company's been around a while.
Yeah, they're doing well. Look at their history right now.
Yeah. When did they start?
So, I'll give you one guess when they started.
Oh, not on Evan's birthday.
It's not coinciding with the original release, but... Falgus Entertainment began in 1965.
Mm. Oh, wow. So, we're establishing quite the timeline here.
Yeah, right. So they could have been born from Kong Fever.
They could have.
Is that what you're implying? It could have been Kong Fever that started it all.
At first, there was a brief moment where I got so excited because it actually lists throughout the years, like large or designs that they have come up with. And for a moment, I was like, imagine if I found it. I have not.
Damn.
I am still scouring. This is new information for me. I still am scouring their website. Like I'm sure Jackson and anyone listening at home, of course, if you're not on the Falgus.com website, you're a maniac. But yeah, I am currently searching desperately. I thought I was so excited because there's a section that said spare parts as well. And I thought,
yes. I've already clicked on that too.
It's a dead link.
Dead link at the email. Imagine if there were just slides.
Imagine. Oh.
Or imagine there was a section where it was all the titties that had been taken out. Oh, you could buy, yeah, buy the titty, the filling. Yeah. Oh, imagine. They got to be somewhere.
They've got to be somewhere.
It's true. That somebody, whether it's landfill or in, yep, someone's private collection, they've got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, correction. I'm sorry. The company was founded in 1960, not 65. Okay. 65 was just, okay, when the first, like, I guess the first design they were proud of.
Wow. Maybe, well, it looks like it's funny looking at the Zoom screen here. We're all deep in research, yeah, now.
You can tell.
We're all in our own rabbit holes. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe, yeah, maybe this is a good time to start winding up for this week. Mm-hmm. But we'll be back in just over a week, about a week and a half for that live stream. If you aren't up for the live stream, that episode will come out in audio form the following week, I'd say. But yeah, I mean, get involved live. You can play along. You can be part of this.
Exactly. Well,
I would call this a crack squad of investigators.
I absolutely think so.
You can become one of the team. Before we go, I did say last time or the time before that I'll start reading out 5-star reviews again. If you like the show, give it a 5-star review wherever you find it, and I'll read it out on the show. There's been a couple since last time. This one comes from Tom Hardass, and he says, 5 stars, Planet of the Ape titty slides. Hopefully your great work will encourage more ape titty slides to come out of the shadows and reclaim the earth. Monkey Abe Lincoln statue with slides coming out of the titties. That's just sort of looking aside at the end. Fantastic.
Yeah.
If they do make another rebooted original Planet of the Apes, that's got to be the big twist at the end.
Yeah, of course. What have you done, you maniacs?
If anyone's got the skills, I'd love to see an ape titty slide submerged in a beach.
Yeah, oh, that would be great. You blew it up! You turned it into a slide!
This one comes from AFXCGHDGH. And it's a 5-star review titled Ape Slide. Loving the new series. Repair the $500,000 ape slide. <It's> beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Heartily agree.
Yeah.
So these reviews are coming from everyone. The first one was from Great Britain. That one was from the US. This one comes from Sweden, from Main Smirks. And his title is Very Good. 5 stars. This monkey titty slide saga is the best thing ever. I've never been so invested in anything.
Wow.
And I got to say to you, Main Smirks, same here. So yeah, if you want to send us a real review, read it out on the show, maybe next time. People can find Adam and Jackson if they go to sanspants.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Sanspantsradio.com?
Oh, maybe sanspantsradio.com.
Yeah. And they're on pretty much all the podcasts there.
Absolutely.
Including Adam runs a fantastic series of D&D adventures.
Yep.
And Jackson is on Plumbing the Death Star. But you pretty much, you know, you pick one at random, you're going to find
one of us will be
almost
on there,
guaranteed,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll put your Twitter handles in the show notes as well. If you do have any info, dear listener, to blow this case wide open, make sure you tag all 4 of us in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if... it's the swish cheese effect. If you just tag me in, it will fall through one of the holes.
Yeah, so you gotta have as many safety nets as possible. I mean, don't worry, don't get us wrong. Some will go. Some are just gonna be gone to time. But you gotta hedge your bets. You gotta increase your chances of us.
We're a crack squad of investigators, but you know, not the most organized squad.
Not the most held together of people. Yeah.
And Evan, they can find you at gaminggaminggame.com or is it .org?
Look, it's probably easier if you just go to YouTube and type in Gamey Game or Gamey Gamey Game, which is the name of the show.
Yeah, great. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, right, and your Twitter handle too. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. And Jackson and Adam, as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
apes to meet you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.